What's up, everybody? Red Zone Sports here to talk a little NFL draft. We are a few weeks away. I cannot wait. NFL draft, along with probably a lot of you maniacs, which is why you're watching this. One of my favorite events of the year. Let's get right to it. I wanted to do kind of a quick hitter, as we know. Mock drafts for the last year, 98% of them are going to be irrelevant because, as we all know, what's going to happen on draft night? Someone's going to make a trade. Someone's going to make a bold pick in that first, you know, 4 to 5 picks, and everything else goes out the window. So I'm going to do it a little bit differently here in terms of what I think each team in the top 10 should do, what I think is the best way for them and their path to success. So let's just jump to it. Chicago Bears on the clock, number one overall. I think it's pretty simple, and I think it's pretty evident what they're going to do here. Caleb Williams, the best prospect, in my opinion, probably in the draft. I've been a little bit of a Caleb hater overall, just from seeing what he's done in college, but there's, you know, and just his freelancing. And, you know, I do think there is a big gap as far as what he's going to need to do to change his game to have kind of sustained success in the NFL long term. But there's no doubt about it, he is the most talented player in the draft. A guy, as a true freshman at Oklahoma, stole Spencer Rattler's job, or, you know, the door opened and he took it. Needless to say, he's the most talented player in the draft. If he can adapt his game and play within the system, you know, a little bit more move the chains type football, he can read defenses, he can do those kinds of things. There's zero doubt that Chicago Bears finally get their franchise quarterback that they've been needing for a very, very long time. And I love what they've done this offseason as far as adding Keenan Allen, already having DJ Moore on the roster. Their defense pretty solid. They added DeAndre Swift at running back. So I think Caleb Williams is going to have some opportunity to have some success in year one. A little bit unsure still about the coaching staff, but Caleb Williams, number one overall. It's what they should do. It's what they're going to do. Lock that thing in. Going to number two, Washington Commanders. This one's still obviously a little bit up in the air. I think Jaden Daniels should be the guy. If you look at college and what he did both at Arizona State and LSU, I think he is the most pro-ready of the remaining quarterbacks in the draft. I think also his ability to move outside the pocket, create opportunities, is something that the Commanders sorely, desperately need. They have receivers. We all know this. We've been hoping for years and years that Terry McLaurin and some of these guys would get someone who can finally throw them the football. I think Jaden Daniels is the perfect guy. Will play very well within Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I think it just makes too much sense. I think he's going to step in right away, have good success in a division that we think potentially could take a step backwards a little bit with Dallas and Philly losing guys. I think the door is open there. I think it's going to be important for Washington to get him some running game. But Brian Robinson's on the roster. I think the offensive line's pretty well intact. I think the Commanders, Jaden Daniels is the guy that they should absolutely take at number two. And I think that's who they will take overall. Now things get interesting. What does the New England Patriots do at three? Look, I am in the belief that this might be and probably is the worst roster in the NFL. Belichick had this thing literally running down and driving on rims by the time he left and walked out the door. They definitely have some talent on the defensive side of the ball, but offense, holy moly. We've been waiting for Ramondre to kind of take off. He's been an okay player, nothing spectacular. Their receiving core is bare bones, tight end. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, the offensive line lost Trent Brown recently. Holy moly. I know Mac Jones was definitely not the guy, but it was not all Mac Jones's fault. Hell, 2 years ago, they had a defensive coordinator calling offensive plays. Like, what are we doing? So, needless to say, they moved on from Belichick. I think this is a operation where they need to absolutely strip this thing down and rebuild it from the bottom up. You don't do that by taking a quarterback that already has some question marks entering his rookie year, which is going to be all the guys remaining at this point, and give him no talent to succeed, especially in a division with the Jets defense. Miami is a lot better of a football team, and the Bills are a lot better of a football team. That is not a recipe for success. So I am in the mindset the New England Patriots should trade back. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to do that. Look, you may not get the biggest haul ever in history of trading a, you know, the third overall pick, but I don't think there's any reason why they can't move back with someone like Minnesota, pick up both of their first round picks and let's say a first next year, or, you know, an additional 2 and 3, something like that, because this team has holes among holes. If New England does that, they can very easily get a left tackle, which this draft is, has plenty of them. And they can go get a receiver mid to late first round. That's going to probably be their top receiver on the team. Day one, you would hope, you know, a Brian Thomas, a Ladd McConkie, possibly a Donovan Mitchell. Like, there's dudes down there in the mid to late first round that can step in and help this team. I think that's the recipe for New England. If I were their GM, that's what I would be looking to do. I don't think reaching for Drake May, or, you know, Penix or Bo Nix or JJ McCarthy and putting him into this situation is the way you succeed. You let Jacoby Brissett pretty much get a beat down this year. You lose a lot of football games, but if you can add, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 really good pieces in place, let those guys get a year under their belt. You know, you can kind of go the route of, let's just say the Niners or what Seattle did back in the day, build this thing around it. And so when someone does step in as a young quarterback, they have an opportunity and a real chance to succeed. So if I'm New England, I'm trading back. Minnesota seems like the likely trade partner. Although who knows, the Raiders are in that mix. Let's see, you know, potentially if the Giants want to move up, we'll get to them in a few of these other teams. But I do think that's the route to go. I know Marvin Harrison, some of these guys are a hot topic, but again, New England has so many needs. Like, Marvin Harrison on this roster is basically going to be what, like, the Houston Texans were for a long time with DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that's great you have him. How many playoff victories did that lead to? Not many. So, in my opinion, New England, trade back, get a bunch of capital, go start building this roster and putting talent around whoever's going to play quarterback. Going to number four. I think Arizona is in a similar situation, although they were shockingly better than I thought they would be last year. They were competitive, man. That new coach had them rolling. Once Kyler got back, obviously, and even with Dobbs, like, the team competed. So they do have a lot of holes, but I do think unless they can find a, you know, a massive trade haul for pick number four, depending what New England does, I do think Marvin Harrison makes a lot of sense for this team. Their needs currently, receiver, cornerback, they're not taking a corner at four. Edge is probably not a top five edge rusher in this draft, unless they want to go Dallas Turner, let's say. But I think that would shock everyone. Kyler needs a number one receiver. Pure and simple, or plain and simple. I think it's Marvin Harrison, in my opinion. I love Rome Odunze. I think Malik Nabers is a stud. But Marvin Harrison's the best receiver in this draft. Like, let's not, you know, sugarcoat it. Let's not try to get all, you know, cute here. Marvin Harrison was pretty much unstoppable with a quarterback that transferred and is going to be playing at Syracuse this year. So don't overthink this, Arizona. Actually, I hope they overthink it as a Niner fan, but I don't think they should. Marvin Harrison at four, I think that's the pick, and I think that's the play. Chargers. What does Jim Harbaugh do in his first draft with the Chargers? So, their tackle position is pretty set because initially I would say, well, Joe Alt seems like a pretty good play, but they have their left tackle. They don't really need a left tackle, and Joe Alt's never played right tackle. So are you going to be using that pick? I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if they go that direction. We know Jim Harbaugh. He builds from the trenches. He wants to run the football. I think Joe Alt's a pretty safe pick if they wanted to go that way. Once again, would not shock me whatsoever if Harbaugh says, you know what, I know we need receivers. I know we need a lot of things, but my first order of business is get someone to protect Keenan Allen and get someone who can have road grade and help run this, run the football. So Joe Alt will not surprise me. I do think also cornerback is desperately a need for them, but this is probably too high still for any of the corners in this draft. I could also see them going the route of a top receiver. Again, I think Rome Odunze would be the guy, in my opinion. Jim Harbaugh saw him close up and personal in the national championship game. I think he saw definitely a guy that is explosive, a number one receiver, no doubt about it. And he is from, you know, Las Vegas, right? So not too far away. I think you keep him home potentially. So I don't think it's Joe Alt. I think it's Rome Odunze. But I also have been kind of in the back of my head seen how Jim Harbaugh likes it playing football. Sorry, got dog barking there. And I would not be shocked to see Brock Bowers go here. Take the kid from Georgia. He's a California kid. He's a kid that can obviously block in the trenches. But man, Jim Harbaugh loves his tight ends. And Brock Bowers is a matchup nightmare. We've seen it for 3 years now in college football. I think he steps in right away, potentially a top five tight end in the game right off the bat. Again, would not shock me whatsoever to see Brock Bowers' name called up pick five here with the Chargers. So that's kind of my my wild card there. But I think it's Rome Odunze here at pick five for Los Angeles. Get Justin Herbert, his new number one. Move on. Get a bona fide starter with your first pick. So I think that's pretty safe. Who knows what the Giants are going to do at pick six? This is the one that is going to blow up the draft, I think, potentially. I mean, they just gave Daniel Jones a ton of money. There are some people that believe in him. I don't know if you saw that weird press conference he gave the other day. They also got Drew Locke as a backup. I personally don't think they're going quarterback here. I think they desperately need a weapon for Daniel Jones. Like, there's no way you can evaluate this guy, in year two of his big deal with the receiving core. Darren Waller's potentially going to retire. He hasn't even made a decision on that. I think it's Neighbors or Odunze here at pick six for the Giants. I think, again, it's the smart play. It's the safe play. I think you just do it, move on, and just chalk it up. Like, just get this guy someone he can throw the football to reliably. I love Wandale Robinson, but he's not a number one. Darius Slayton's on the wrong side of his career. The Giants need a playmaker in the worst way possible. Saquon Barkley is not there anymore. Devin Singletary is not going to be the guy to replace him either. So another team that desperately needs talent, but if it were me, I'm taking one of those two top receivers if they're there. If not, man, the Giants are in just a tough spot here. I think you try to move out. They could take a corner. They could take, Mitchell or, the other kid from Iowa. But yeah, man, I think they're just in a tough spot. So I lean a weapon for Daniel Jones. Worst case scenario, Daniel Jones is not the guy. You move on from Danny J, Danny Dimes, and then you've got a receiver. Hopefully they're ready for when someone else steps in. Number seven, Tennessee Titans. This one seems pretty obvious. They just went ahead and traded for Legarius Sneed. This team needs a tackle. It is Joe Alt with a bullet if he's there. I don't know what they would do in terms of reaching for the other tackle on their board if he's not there. If, let's say, Harbaugh or the Giants or somebody else takes Joe Alt. But as of right now, how it sits, I think it's got to be Alt. I think the team's done a pretty good job, starting to add some weapons and some pieces. DeAndre Hopkins is there for Will Levi. They're trying to evaluate this kid as well and trying to figure out if this is going to be their quarterback of the future. Again, like a lot of teams, like, they need to know if he is, but you got to put pieces around him to evaluate him properly, right? So I think the receiving core is intact. I think you go and you try to protect him now. I think it's Talis Fuaga. I think you could see Fontenot from Washington there. I think they just need to get an offensive lineman. It could be a guard. It could be a tackle. Doesn't really matter. Both of those guys are tackles, obviously, along with Alt. You also have the kid from Penn State who is a little bit more of a project. You've got J.C. Latham. Dude, there are tackles ready to start day one in this draft. I think that's where Tennessee goes. It just makes too much sense. I would be shocked if they go on the defensive side of the ball, in a year again, when they need to evaluate Will Levi. They need to know going into next year if they need to draft a quarterback or not. And if they're not going to draft a quarterback, then they're probably going to have a pretty high pick. I'm sorry. If they do need to draft a quarterback, that's because Will Levi had a pretty poor year, is my opinion. So they will be in the market for a quarterback with a top 10 pick. You do it then. Like we just talked about the Giants, if you do draft an offensive lineman, that line's better or a weapon or something like that, the situation is just a lot better, obviously, for that quarterback to step into. So I'm going offensive line, Joe Alt, number 7 to Tennessee, if that's me. The Falcons, another one where they can go in a bunch of different directions. I think the two most likely scenarios here for Atlanta is someone on the defensive line, you know, or you could see a defensive back. They just need defensive help badly. I think Atlanta has a lot of weapons. They have a pretty good offensive line. Kirk Cousins now in the mix. He can manage and navigate, you know, if there's a few holes there. But these guys don't need a receiver. They obviously don't need a running back with Bijan there. Tight end, don't need that with Kyle Pitts. I think all roads lead to potentially offensive line, but I think it's good. They're going defense here. So if it were me, I think Dallas Turner is probably the best, but the most likely, I would say. In terms of production, he's not Will Anderson, but the dude's an absolute freak. I think I remember he started day one at Alabama, which tells you all you need to know about his upside. But I could also see, you know, potentially Terrion Arnold, another Alabama kid, but at the cornerback spot. You could see Jared Verse potentially, Cooper DeJean. I think that's the route these guys go. They just need help on that side of the ball. Quinion Mitchell obviously is another one. That's where I would go if I'm Atlanta. I think they go defense. They're also a team I could see if someone's trying to get up for one of these quarterbacks that are slipping. I could see them as an interesting trade back partner, because if you could get, let's just say they move back with Minnesota, right? You know, a couple picks, Minnesota wants their guy at 8. I could see them moving back. Let's say you can pick up both first rounders. You could get two defensive starters for moving back, you know, 4 spots or 3 spots. So I think that's a really interesting spot to watch a trade. But I'm going Dallas Turner here for Atlanta. Then we come back to Chicago. Chicago as well, right? Like, we just talked about it with all these quarterbacks. Do you go and add another offensive weapon for Caleb? Or do you go protection for Caleb? They could use more offensive line help, as everybody in the league could. Or do you help out this defense a little bit? I think, you know, them getting Montez Sweat was really big, but I think, you know, you've got a guy like Jerzon Newton. You've got Quinion Mitchell who could be there. Byron Murphy could be there. And should be there, actually, I should say. Terrion Arnold, I think you go get a bona fide, rock-solid defensive starter here. I think that, again, the way that you win with early or young quarterbacks in the league is don't ask them to do too much. We know Caleb's a star. We should be a star. But don't put too much on his shoulders, right? Have a running game. Play some defense. Don't make Caleb go out there and play USC football, which is like, hey, guys, we're going to have to score 35, 40 points every single game just to be in this thing. I think Chicago, if they can, you know, have a pretty good defense out there, run the football, it's a path to success, right? So maybe even a Jared Verse there at 9. I think they go defense. I think they probably go pass rusher. That's a little bit more in Chicago's DNA. But don't be shocked to see one of the corners go here at 9 as well. Especially, and I should, with a caveat here, I should say with all three, in my opinion, of those big time receivers, Rome, Neighbors, and Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board, I think it's the decision's pretty easy for Chicago. You go defense, in my opinion. So yeah, that's what I would do. For the Jets at 10, well, we all know this is the Aaron Rodgers pick here. Look, they improved the offensive line. However, these are improved positions with aging players. Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, John Simpson. I personally think the right way to play this would be for the Jets to take an offensive lineman here. Again, you've got almost your pick of the litter, ideally. You've got everyone, but pretty much Joe Alt is going to be on the board, I think, at this point, offensive line-wise. Go get an offensive lineman like Fuaga or someone like that, and you can even play him at guard right off the bat. And if something happens, an injury happens, you slide that guy over to tackle, but you have some depth there. So a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers isn't getting his ass kicked every single game. Protect him. If you can protect Aaron Rodgers, you have a better season, obviously, on the horizon. But this is the New York Jets. I have a pretty strong feeling they are going to take a weapon for Aaron Rodgers or a defensive player. If those big three receivers are off the board, and let's say the Chargers took their receiver, they took an offensive lineman, I do think this is another very good landing spot for Brock Bowers. You know, you put Mike Williams out there, Garrett Wilson, they've got a good running game with Breece, offensive line improved. I think Brock Bowers would be a home run pick for these guys at pick 10. It would give Rodgers a guy that is an immediate impact, a mature player, right? Again, this guy played as a true freshman at Georgia, you know, has won multiple natties. He's going to step in, be able to pick up the offense. He's going to be a reliable weapon for Aaron in the middle of the field and can kind of give him another mismatch option there. I think it makes too much sense, which is why I'm a little bit nervous the Jets will not do it. But I would go Bowers or offensive line here if I'm the Jets and help Aaron out a little bit more. That's it. That is kind of my top 10 as we sit about 2 weeks out from the draft as to what I would do and the top needs for each of these teams. If you haven't and you like this content, please hit the thumbs up. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Hopefully later this week, we should hit picks 11 through 20, and then we'll round out the end of the first round. Hopefully we'll be able to do kind of a live mock draft here with Jim, Joe, and myself as we lead up to the draft and get everybody rock solid and ready to go. So we're a few weeks out. Hopefully everybody's getting excited. And until next time.